Chris.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the Toasted Marshmallow Adventures Podcast. Today in the studio, and I should have asked you before we started how to say your last name. I believe it's Niko Lukoff.
You got it.
Awesome. Nice. Comedian Niko Lukoff. Thank you for being here tonight
on the
podcast. Being here in the studio. It's been a while since we've had an in-studio guest. Yeah. Yes.
Crystal Moore.
Woo.
Thank you, Crystal.
Yeah, that was like the week before the Idaho Comedy Festival. Yeah.
Awesome. She's great.
Yeah, she's fun. She made me want to be a clown. She's really cool.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get started. So let's start off with the Idaho Comedy Fest. Did you attend?
I did not.
You did not attend.
I was not a part of it anyway. I was out of town for work stuff. Heard about it.
Yeah.
Saw pictures and thought it looked like a really good time.
Okay. I thought you were there for some reason.
Yeah. No, that wasn't me.
Huh.
Okay.
Super handsome, hairy, fat guy with the beard. Yeah. I don't know.
And earlier today, you were like, is he that weird guy that talked to us?
I did say that.
Into the hallway.
That kind of sounds like me, too. Yeah. I don't think it was.
It's not you. There was some weird guy, though.
Yeah. I vaguely remember him.
So I'm glad.
Exactly. So we basically got hooked up with you. You messaged us after you heard Dante mention you in the Mixed and Misidentified episode.
Suitman
206. And so, and then that's how what prompted you to message us. And that's you are the... Sorry, I'll cut this out.
Please don't. This is fucking great.
No, I like it.
I should have said I was totally in that fest. I mean, like, I headlined that fest.
Sorry. I totally lost my track.
We were just talking. Like, how do you know Dante?
Well, he brought him up because of the Displaced Comedians Facebook page.
So actually, I met Dante pre-pandemic at an open mic in Tacoma, Washington.
Oh,
so I traveled
cool.
for work, like I was saying before the show here. He was, you know, at an open mic that I was just walking around hanging out in Tacoma. So we didn't like hang out a bunch. I mean, that's when we talked. I said hello because we become Facebook friends because like any or most new comics, I think you start seeing everyone in an area with the holding a microphone somewhere and their mutual friends start adding everybody,
exactly.
which isn't always the best move. But you do that anyway. They're like, oh yeah, I know Sam. And we said hi. And then we just like a lot of times, it's happened with a lot of people. Then I just kind of reconnect on Zoom, regardless of how that initial relationship was, just because a lot of people ended up gravitating towards that.
Yeah. So you Zoomed with him?
Yeah. Did some Zoom. I was on one of his Zoom shows that he did. It's pretty fun.
And now, did you start the Displaced Comedians
page? I
did. Okay.
I run it. I've had a couple of people in certain roles in it a few times. That's the thing that I started and did and I'm doing.
When did you start?
So I started the group, it was April 12th of last year, 2020.
Oh, wow.
So it was
like a month into the pandemic.
It was almost exactly a month since the last time I had done a live set, and that was at Tacoma Comedy Club. That was when everything was shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Friday the 13th, I think it was the Friday there was Friday the 13th that week, and I was just like flying home from SeaTac like, oh shit.
Yeah.
This is real.
Yeah.
What's going on? What's going to happen? Can I get tested and just get off the plane? Because I was in Seattle, like where it was, it was going to be coming through, but they're like, no, just go home. It's like, all right. And then everything just started shutting down. And then I was like, well, I had just started doing open mics.
Oh, crap.
Oh, no, that's cool. That's super professional.
It's water something. Oh, look at Wendy.
God
damn it.
It's a relationship thing. This is my moment to look at Wendy and notice any changes in her, any compliments I need to give. You're still beautiful as usual.
Got piercings that he didn't fucking notice. Like piercings into my body.
But he just knows you for you and that he's loved forever. And just those things are just
like, dude, could you maybe see me?
Yes.
So he has a look at Wendy alarm. Sorry.
I do every night at like 7:50 p.m.
Sorry, so, you know,
daily.
I think it's great. That was fantastic.
This should be a joke.
This should be what we talk about for the next. I with a bunch of weirdos on Zoom. You guys are like talking real shit here, like real human things.
Yeah.
I guess.
Nah, Zoom's been cool. It's been a weird fucking group.
So Dante, he is such a character. We really dig him. We're going to Seattle just for a like fun thing.
Oh, cool.
And I want to look him up and just hang out.
Yeah, we're gonna see if we can hang out and have a beer or something while we're there.
Really
yeah.
Think he's a cool dude.
Him and Joe Gomez.
Yeah, Joe. So
did you meet him?
Yeah. So I knew him. So when I started doing open mics, Tacoma was one of the areas I started doing them in.
Okay.
And that's where I met Joe. And I met Joe at one mic, and then we both went over to that same one to the American.
Cool.
And that's where we started hanging out. I think he had started, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 months before that, maybe. I could be wrong. But then we'd hang out, and then when I would visit town, we'd connect and hang out, and we'd, you know, go to different mics together. And then everything, you know, shut down. And then we connected some more on Zoom, and he was, you know, he knew I was doing Zooms, and I was messaging him about like inviting him to do stuff.
Yeah.
Then he did some. I did his podcast through Zoom.
Oh, cool.
And then when I found out he was going to be on Dante's show, that was coming up, I was like, hell yeah. So then made a night of that because we had some great open mics on Saturday night also. So we did that show, and I took him to a couple mics. And
oh, nice.
He crushed. Yeah. And there's a riff challenge at the last mic that we did at Mad Swede. So that goes to like 1:30 in the morning now on Saturday nights, and he tied to win that, and just had a blast.
Cool.
So it was just hours of fun comedy and hanging out. We had dinner earlier too, and he's awesome.
He seems really fun.
He's cool. He's funny. And like 3 days or 2 days or so before that, I was actually in Tacoma at Tacoma Comedy Club open mic where he was doing the light system there.
Oh, cool.
So he was lighting comics up, and they were going over. That was kind of fun sitting with him and watching, like, oh, is this person going to run it?
Yeah.
And several did.
Yeah. Now, we kind of hooked up with him kind of randomly.
Dante.
Dante.
It's a weird.
Through somehow we were linked up with this Ashton. New podcaster on Instagram.
Yeah.
And we were.
Who no longer does it.
Yeah, he only put out 2 episodes.
Oh. Yeah, and we had him on our podcast.
And we were, you know, we're like, hey, you know, we reached out to him, say, hey, you want to be on our podcast? He was new, had like 1 episode out at the time. And he mentioned Dante, this before we had ever met him, was going to be at the Idaho Comedy Fest because we had said we were going to be there and how they were buddies and to, you know, look for him.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so we did. We had him on the
Dante
podcast.
Was like, I barely know the guy.
Like, I don't really know him. We're not like friends.
But Dante is the cool thing out of that because this other guy stopped doing his podcast.
I know, right? Put out 2 episodes, but now we know Dante, and that's a cool,
it's a really cool
connection. And
we want to look up him and Joe.
He's pro toasted marshmallow.
Yeah, he is pro toasted marshmallow.
So it's always good.
So when did you start comedy?
So it was August 2nd. I think it was 2nd of 2019.
Okay.
So pretty recently.
Isn't it funny how everybody knows like their date?
Why
is that?
It's important. There's actually 2 different dates. Like, is it the 12th or the 2nd? I'm just guessing.
But why do you even that roughly know?
Because you care.
Because it's a big
bit.
Deal.
It's the day you went, oh shit, this is what I'm going to do till I can't anymore.
So how many months or years prior do you think every comedian thinks about doing that first open mic? Or is it like a spur of the moment thing?
So I think more people take a long time to do it than I thought. I think when you start, you think you're special. Like, I've been thinking about this for years and sending my friends clips, and now I'm going to be so much better. But not that I thought that exactly, but I was like, oh, yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot. I've been sending some clips to some friends and getting some feedback. And they were horrible clips. I can't believe people thought to me.
Really?
Really bad.
Really even were you the funnier friend, though?
In a lot of groups, the groups of shitty people, though. No, I was always, the one cracking jokes. You know, we'd sit and we'd hang out and play poker for several hours. Then I would hit the punchline. But what I didn't realize is they were giving me setups the whole time. Or, you know what I mean? Like, that's what you hang out with your friends. Your first time doing stand-up, like, I'm just so funny in a group or whatever. Like, but now you don't have that group. Now it's on you.
Yeah.
It's all on you.
True.
To make that happen.
It's intense.
Yeah, it's...
Because I think he's thought about...
There have been times when
you guys don't do stand up at all.
No. We're huge fans.
I love it. I love it.
I mean, we travel. I mean, we just went to Salt Lake City to see Marc Maron. A couple months prior, we went to Salt Lake City to see Mark Normand.
fucking Bobby Lee was going to be in Spokane. We're like,
but he canceled. You ever get to
see Bobby Lee live?
I was like, outside of LA, yeah.
He strips a lot, but yeah, so, he canceled.
Went to Reno and saw Whitney Cummings and Taylor,
cool.
So Taylor Tomlinson.
Yeah, gosh, she's so funny.
Yeah, that wasn't a great show.
I think it was the location. I think because it's a casino.
It's not really a club feel.
Was it Taylor Tomlinson? Is that what you were saying? Or
we loved
Taylor opened. Yeah, her and another guy.
And oh god,
I've just seen her Netflix, and that was just like, oh my god,
I loved her. I loved her special. Yeah, her specials, awesome. Yeah,
nothing but punches and just fast.
Yeah, we were. I think it was a lot the location and the crowd, like Reno. It's gonna be like a random.
Yeah, and it was like a theater setting. Yeah, it was too big. It was. I mean, I think Whitney could probably do a really big crowd.
There were three people that went up, and they all did crowd work to like pull up the energy.
Yeah, they were really just, doing a lot of crowd work.
Whitney, at the end, brought an old man up and, like, Frenched him or something.
Let him touch her boob.
Her boob, yeah.
Shirt up, yeah. Because his wife had just passed away.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
And she was trying to end on a high note. It was
boob touching, and that's what she ended with. Yeah. The guy grabbing her boob.
He's talking it on the podcast. Like, it was memorable. All right.
I guess.
7:50. Time to look.
So I think I was hooked up with the Displaced Comedians page because
this is what Kritz wants going
so
to.
wait
shit's going down.
Because I think it may have been you put a link on probably the Boise Comedy Fans page, maybe.
And
that's how I found that page and joined, you know, because we're always looking for comedians or entertainers to interview on the podcast. Now, and we can cut this out here.
Oh, this is going to get good.
But I was almost immediately contacted by Jolie RX.
Oh, yeah. I'm not surprised at all. Was it right when you joined the group?
When was that? Within 24 hours. I have them.
When did you join ish, is what I'm wondering.
Well, I can tell you by the message she sent me.
Great.
So,
this is fantastic.
Okay. You're into this. All right. Okay. So I was sent a message from her on June 22nd. So,
of this year?
Yes.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Okay, let's. I want to hear about this beef. If you can talk about it.
What did she send you? Join the thing. We got a cool thing. If you want to be a part of it, a lot of weird words that kind of don't mean anything.
She said, "Hey, I saw you just joined a comedian group I'm in. If you're looking for an open mic, I host one on Zoom. That's really fun. It's in its 59th week. Let me know if you're interested. Starts 7 p.m. Pacific. I said, hey, thanks for reaching out. I'm actually not a comedian. I have a podcast with my girlfriend. We're interview/chat with comedians. Look like we have a mutual friend, Nathan Scott Ford, who has been on our podcast twice. I joined to find more comedians that would like to come on as guests. She said, oh, cool. We are a comedy collective who built our own website to house our virtual shows during COVID, and then she gave me the link for Rampantly Comedians. We'll bleep that out, so we don't want to promote her, right?
Do whatever you want to do. So what I was, that was a little more concise than I was anticipating.
Okay.
Because a lot of it is a lot of more of the floaty stuff that's like, what are you doing? We're a collective of da-da-da-ba-da-ba-da. And everything I have to say is completely factual, so I have nothing to be worried about. So whatever. So that makes sense because I kicked her and her group out and blocked them from being promoted from my group, where that kind of spurred her group. Because, well, I'm not trying to like, there's no competition. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I can have five people in a group. You can have a million. I don't care at all. My purpose was trying to like make something positive and fun and keep things going. So I'm not like trying to build, bro, it's got to be power, whatever. I don't give a shit. But I'm going to run it how I fucking decide to run it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So right around June, I think it was June 6th or 7th is when I was like, look, everyone who runs your, because kind of the purpose of the group was started from just making a list of Zoom open mics. I wanted people to go somewhere to go. People to go, this is because when you do comedy and you travel or go wherever you go, the Portland comedy page and the Northwest book, all these different groups. And that's where I would do when I would travel for work and I would join them and figure out what mics are going on. There's a list of batslava.com mics that had some information, but some of that was a little outdated. So I'd kind of start there and zone in on, you know, zero in on what's actually still active.
So you took around the country?
Well,
or was it just locally?
Sort of. So when I did open mics live, it was I took the information and I just used it for myself to like, oh, this is the open mic that I'm going to go to. Mm-hmm. But then when stuff shut down, I saw in different regions in those different groups, different people were doing different Zoom mics. And I went, well, one's doing them here. Two's doing them over here. There's someone doing them over here.
Yeah.
We need to collect this information like we had before. It's got to be centralized in some way in a live environment. It can't just be a website that's going to get stagnant because I knew shit's going to change fast.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be lively. I want it to be people hanging out and be like, hey, let's just hang out and talk and tell jokes and do workshops and play games and all stuff. And it grew to these different things. And I started inviting a bunch of people. And at first, it was like 3 or 4 of these Zoom mics a week. I'm like, how do I keep track of all these? Now, then became a ton. And at first, I had them like on just a list on one post. So I wanted you to need to be in the group to kind of have access, not to like block people, but just to kind of encourage the behavior of like, we're in this together. Mm-hmm. But then the page got so long, or the post, every time I edit, took forever, and it wasn't in a good format and easy to read. So then I made a Google Sheet and was like, look, if you don't want to be in the group, you want to go to this. This is the link. I finally bought the domain because having that long link was just a pain in the ass. That just points to this page. And then a lot of it was me collecting information. Like I'd see someone in some town doing a Zoom mic, and I was like, all right, well, how long, like, what's the important information? How long is the sets? Which not all these things are super critical, but just things to know about. How do you sign up? Kinda when is it? How long are the sets? Are they streamed? I thought that was important because do you want your open mic shit streamed? Sometimes you don't. Some people do.
Right. Yeah.
Like, who's hosting it? Where are they based? And people are like, well, it doesn't matter where it's based. And that's an easy joke to make. Like, I'd assume. Well, it kind of did because you usually gathered. That's usually where those people had their audience and their scene and their group. Oh, okay. So now we got these people in these different scenes. You do a mic over in New York, you might have a different group of someone doing them, you know, based out of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then you now you have audience, like actual people who haven't heard your jokes before, even though most people on them are comedians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still, now you have different humans that you're engaging with. Mm-hmm. And then we become this thing. And I was kind of interrogating all these hosts for all these questions. Some were like,
Are you getting paid?
No.
Is this all?
No one's ever. I mean, several people like, they'll be. Like a couple bucks because it was very nice of them, but never monetized any of this.
It's like podcasting.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So far, yes.
Like here's the thing. I've got I'm very fortunate, knock on wood. I've got a great job. I think once you start charging for something like that or something like that, there's an expectation.
Yeah.
And now the expectation is people now know who I am.
It just seems almost like you could have advertisers.
I absolutely could. I got over 9,000 people there. People would pay money.
Yeah.
I actually had someone reach out who,
it seems like a really who does awesome shows concept.
out of a club in New York and is like, can I promote my class on your page? I'm like, look, you just do it the same way everyone does. Just post about it.
Yeah.
And if people don't like what you're doing, they're going to shit on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to stop them. But really, I mean, depending on the situation, I might jump in. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, someone like, I think they were actually surprised I didn't charge money. I'm like, if I charge money, then it sounds like I'm endorsing you. And I don't fucking know you. I don't know what you're after, what your real intentions are. I'm just a fucking open micer who's wanted to have some fun and connect with people. And now I get to go different places. Like last week, I was in Denver, went to 2 different open mics. And people that I had hung out with on Zoom were there.
Oh,
and I didn't
even know. Didn't even plan it.
I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, and there are
people
from,
like some people, Kylie Tribble, a comedian from San Diego, I met. She was doing a show in Denver.
Andrew Davis, who was
on Zoom too, but Kylie, like I hung out on Zoom after like doing Zoom open mic. We tell jokes when we hang out. People are having drinks and just chilling because we're also just a bunch of weirdos in a weird ass time. A lot of people single. Like I'm married. I've got kids.
Yeah.
A lot of people like don't have other humans to interact with. Not everyone has someone hit at 750. I'm going to look at you for a minute.
Right.
You know, not everyone has that.
Nice call.
And so it was really cool to do all this. So I'll do this connection, all these things. At some point, there was this group that started called Rampantly from the individual who you just mentioned, who, you know, sprang from that and started another group, which was kind of more like there's a visual way, like their website, you can see there's some graphic interface to it. So there's some, it's a little prettier.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get people who were running mics already, Zoom mics. And a lot of Zoom mics were based off of real life stuff too. Like this was a real life mic. They named it the same thing. Then it went on Zoom because they had to find somewhere to go.
Right.
Some of them are just like, hey, let's just pop one up. But there's history to some of these things. And then she would take them and convince them to be a part of their collective. And then to join their mic, you had to go on their page and then click through long list to get to a specific one. It was frustrating for me because my job was that I gave myself was to make it as easy as possible to sign up for these things. So if you were one of like the 20 or 30 mics or whatever number they had that were in this group, in order to sign up for it, they'd say you have to click on a link to their website. Then you got to click a bunch of shit to try to find that specific one. I'm like, that doesn't make it easier for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't just tell me to go to that one page. So then I'd click through and they said, oh, go to the one page. And I clicked through and found the individual mic page. I copy and pasted that, but then that was dead because they refresh it every week. So I was like, God damn it. Okay, here, I'm giving you free advertising to your thing. They charge money to give you tape. They record everything and have rules that say, like, they own all the content.
Oh, whoa.
I'm not saying what people are using that content for, but that's factual.
Yeah.
And a lot of things charge for tape, like Flappers Comedy Club. I'm not trying to associate the two, but I've been involved with them just because I really liked what they're doing. They were trying to stay alive during this time, and they're doing mics and shows, and like on paid, you know, showcases, they charge very small amounts. Sometimes they go like comp tickets for, but it's fun to engage. And then they also had like, you know, like headliner kind of shows too, that, you know, people paid more money for it and to try to keep, you know, keep their business moving and keep comedy going. So I didn't, you know, shit on that for like someone go, you know, they'll allow you to pay $5 to be on their Zoom mic, or you can go for free if you want, and you can pay some money to like get your tape from it or whatever. So like, I'm not just shitting on that concept. It's not a specific thing, but it's all these things adding up. And then they did an event where they were like, it's a 24-hour Zoom mic thing. Mm. And they took all these hosts that were in their 24 group.
24 hours.
Yeah. They were doing all these hosts that were in the group. Now, I wasn't involved with the organization. It could be some off on some of these details. But they took, to my understanding, they took some of the people that were already in their organizations, other people too, like sign up to be able to have your thing. I'm making like this some big value for your thing. And let's have all these hour by hour things. And I did one of them because it was through the first Zoom mic that I did. It was called the Panda Mic. It's spelled pandemic with a capital N, fun thing. Mm-hmm. Out of Salt Lake City, Utah. Like Rachel Rothenberg was on. She's amazing. She did start it back up again. But she actually ran the first Zoom mic I did. Mm-hmm. So I also went out to Tacoma, like that I had known from real life who had done her mic on there. That's where I got connected to it. But so on her version of that, when I closed that one out, it was really fun. It was like 1 a.m. We had a good time. And they did this whole thing. A lot of people had a lot of fun. We'll turn out a lot of the hosts were just treated really poorly through the whole thing. And you get kind of treated like shit. And it turned out also that they ended up selling. So you see people ever post a joke about t-shirts in the group. She ended up selling t-shirts, and no, she didn't tell anybody about that. So like for a profit, like selling this merch of a thing that all these other people put so much energy into. And to my understanding, all of those other people really did the work for it and weren't seeing any of it. I don't think they were asking for it, but then they're also like shaming people like, oh, if you don't buy a shirt, you got to buy a shirt, or we'll put your name on it. Because initially they're like, we're gonna have all these names of all these comedians that are on it. I'm like, you got all these poor people. Not just poor, but just you have people from every range, and you're shaming my friends who are like want to, you know, now have to decide do I spend $30 on a shirt or whatever it was, or do I not? Yeah. And that seems like a little thing, but I was like, fuck that. You can't. I'm like, you tell me right now if you're actually gonna take their names off of that, because I paid for a shirt because I won. I thought it was a fun commemorative thing of my friends and people hang out with. And then they kind of backtracked that and just weird shit from there. Heckling shows, harassing people. I started getting messages from people that they're just being really, really shitty to. And just really weird, kind of culty, clicky, like really strong in that way, to where they would end up saying to me that I was like I said, jealous of anything. Like, what do you have? Wow. No offense. Like, I'm not doing. But then I did post some things that that person posted in the group at one point. Oh, I put them on post approval. Basically, if you post something I think's a little shitty, I might delete it. I might hit you in post approval, just thinking you might do that again. And then they like flipped out saying that I was like blocking all these things. Oh, I'm like, no, I allowed every post about shows. Then they're on their own page talking it's shit like the administrators of this group. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's my group. You're trying to just have a forum for like, comedians.
Yeah. It's like that person's trying to. I'm like, I've let every post about show on here. And then I'm like, look, guys. And then they messaged me very vicious things. And I was like, look, I had a hard time doing this because I felt like the people running those mics were kind of like her human shield, because I liked all those people and did some of their mics. And I was like, look, if you want to promote your mic on this page, you're not going to have it through that page. And you've got about a week or some time to take it down and give me a link to whatever format you're going to have it. Or I'm just going to take it off the page. You're not going to post about it here. Yeah. You'll find somewhere else. And I did that, and they weren't very happy with it. So then that was early June. So then I found out later they started messaging new people in the group to recruit them. They even used like a fake profile, like a different profile name thing, which I looked really closely and I realized it was kind of distorted picture of the same person. And they were actually messaging me and saying, we have plants and displays trying to recruit people. I'm like, Jesus Christ. First, this is weird. Like to call it that, though, like plants, like that's, we're just people trying to tell jokes. And I was like, if you're doing that, don't. And
that's
then
crazy.
There's some other stuff weird. I'm pretty sure they were doing. And it's just like, it and meanwhile, seems
unhealthy.
Yeah. It's really like weird, why? Though, too. I mean, like the whole.
What you're doing is all positive.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
Kind of full circle thing, too, of like, I joined the group. She messaged me. Dante's on the podcast. I say the name. He's like, we don't want to talk about that.
And then,
we have Nico.
Oh, so you brought it up on the last one.
On the Mixed and Misidentified show, I was like, oh, I'm in that group. I talked to someone named Julie RX.
Yeah.
And he's like, we don't want to talk about that or something like that. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
I thought somebody else on that pod. Someone told me that happened. I thought someone else on the podcast mentioned that. That's really funny.
No, I said that. Yeah.
Really awesome.
It's a really crazy circle of things.
And then during the whole time, I'm getting messages from other people like this, like really mean stuff they did that was way worse. Like,
weird
stuff too to me. Like, I was emceeing a Zoom show that was like a professionally produced Zoom show. I was really stoked about it. And she came on and started just like doing weird cackling through people's setups and like messing with it. Then I just had her booted, and I'm just like, you know what?
We will give her
done
zero.
Yeah,
If anything was said,
I have to unjoin her group.
I mean, and I tell people, do what you're gonna do. I don't do it. Whatever makes you happy. I'm too busy doing other stuff.
Comics, comedians, the whole.
Well, I feel like if you're gonna start your own thing, you need to start it. You know, solely by yourself. Yeah. Don't try to pirate people from someone else's group, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, start it up. And if you're good, people will join.
Comics and comedians support each other. That's the whole cool thing is like everybody's for everybody. Yeah. Like, because when we started really talking to comedians, we were like, oh my God, we found our people. You know what I mean? Like people that are, they have some shit, but they're fun and funny.
Yeah, and accepting.
Yeah.
I've always been a stand-up comedian fan.
Yeah, I have.
Awesome.
Yeah, and so I actually introduced you really to it, because prior to that you were
like Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby, who's out now and there's rumors he's going to tour.
He's going to try, I'm sure.
I mean, do you think he's going
to be somewhere?
Do we go?
No, we don't go.
I don't want to pay the money to him.
Let's talk about Bill Cosby.
I saw him 6 months before we found everything out.
No.
Really?
Yeah, it was the first time I saw him. My wife got tickets for my birthday. We were so excited. It was actually here in Boise. And that's, he said some awkward shit. It was
really.
I'm not one of those. I
about
knew,
Jell-O?
But like no, but just some weird stuff. But he's also
when
an
you're
older
passed
dude,
up,
so he's sitting
put
down.
Jell-O,
no, just some weird creepy stuff that was like, oh, that makes a little more sense now.
Okay, at the time, did it your spidey sense?
A little, but it was like that was my wife and I were like, that was a little weird. Like it was a legend. I'm glad we saw him, but I have no interest. I just don't care what he has to say.
I know.
That's where'd you see him at?
So BSU actually.
Oh, BSU.
Yeah.
The old pavilion. That's where I saw.
And I was happy to get to go see him. I'm glad I saw him before all that.
That's crazy. Because
of course I thought he was great and hilarious and wonderful, like so many other people did.
Wow.
I mean, it was probably the first stand-up comedy I saw was like Bill Cosby himself.
Yeah, as himself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, as himself. Yeah. And I remember we had it on VHS in my house because I think my parents were like super into it because it was clean comedy, you know. I think he says one cuss word in it.
Yeah.
And he says like ass or something.
Yeah, like the line about that.
Yeah, that's a little stretching it.
It's
you know,
cocaine makes out your personality. What if you're an asshole?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's the joke.
Dang, what did you think 6 months later?
Oh, when... I was like everybody. I was like, holy shit, this is just crazy. Like
it's
sad and confused and bummed and just everything. Like so horrible for all those people. And
insane.
Yeah.
While we're talking about legendary comedians, let's talk about Norm MacDonald. Oh my God!
So sad.
Yeah, at 61,
he didn't tell anybody.
Young.
Nobody knew. That's I listened to Adam Carolla today. Did a Norm like whatever
tribute?
Yeah,
kind of thing.
And Rob Schneider called in, and he was like. He was one of my really good friends. I had no idea. He said that like 4 years ago, though, they were on stage together. And when Rob got off, Norm was actually asleep in the auditorium or either like the area where people will walk out. And so he helped him up to his room. And he's like, Norm's a big man because Rob's short.
Yeah.
And he got him up to the room and he said, I've had so many friends like die from drug overdose that I went into the bathroom to see if anything was going on. And he said, and that's when I realized he was dealing with something. But he kept it a secret as well, which is amazing, crazy.
Today, while I was home, I watched most of one of his specials on Netflix. Yeah,
and we haven't seen it yet.
No,
okay,
we had started it. It had like a 10-minute little play thing into it.
It was what, a few years ago.
Yeah, which one was it? Yeah, it was, I think it was 2017 is when it was from. Yeah, and it was funny. I mean, it has a slower cadence, but there was some pretty funny stuff. I mean,
have you guys listened to this podcast?
No.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
Is it really?
It was on YouTube also. And yes. It's so funny. He has a show on Netflix also that was kind of based around it. Let's think of like,
Norm MacDonald's show. How recent was the podcast?
The podcast, if I had to guess, sometime within the last 10 years, I could be wrong.
Okay.
But I think there's several seasons of it. He's interviewing guests and he does bits. And he just goes, and they don't know. They don't get that he's fucking around. He's
doing a bit.
And he just keeps going. And it's so Norm.
Oh, I wanna
do
that.
Because he doesn't go like, I'm making a joke. Like, are you kidding right now? And he just dismisses completely and just keeps going. Just because he's just, all he cares about is being funny.
Yeah.
And you could agree or disagree with anything he says. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
He was among the funniest humans ever and fucking is amazing. Very sad.
Amazing.
I was watching one of the clips of all his Letterman interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Because right when I found out, I was just like, I need to watch something.
Yeah.
I got to watch their dirty work again.
Yeah.
God, what was I going to say about that? Oh, I guess his significant other said in a statement that the number one thing he hated was pandering in any version. So, actually telling people that he was ill, how he responded would have been a pandering
dinner,
which is...
Yeah.
That's him.
I get it. It's sad, though, because, he was really cool.
Yeah, and his jokes were like, when I was watching that special today, and it's kind of like really just seeing him through the years from Saturday Night Live, he was there in like the Chris Farley and David Spade days. And his jokes are still like in that 2017, they're like almost like these very simple jokes, but with, I don't know.
He knows how to deliver.
They're simple with a little complexity to them, and he can just deliver and get the laugh off of.
Apparently,
one of the punchlines was like, he's talking about the desserts.
I started watching that special, and then and this is before I'd started doing stand-up. So my wife's kind of peeled away at me in the sense of like trying to draw the humor out, and which is so sad because like there's so many years of great jokes that I've missed out on because I couldn't take a joke for a very long time.
Oh.
It was way too serious. I still did goof off, but like still, so it's weird. So I didn't, so that was around, I think, kind of when I was starting to be like, it was starting to unlock, and some of his stuff, I was like, I'm not that into this. And then I watched his podcast. I'm like, oh, I get it now.
Oh, yeah. God,
I went back and watched that special.
I had no idea.
And rewatched what I had started, then watched the whole thing. I was like, oh,
totally
shit.
Different.
This is incredible.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say. If it comes to me, I'm just going to blurt it out.
Okay, sweet.
You should. That's what we're doing.
So you started 7 months before the pandemic?
What made you, led up to that?
So, I was saying before, there was probably a good year, maybe a little longer. I was just sending some just clips of just stuff that I was saying that I thought was funny to some friends, trying to think up some things to say. I had a weird experience growing up where, I was trying to tell a story, and I still am working on that today in different ways, where I got busted in high school for selling weed. Because you're not supposed to do that there is one of the lines. And then it goes into this thing where I haven't delved into some of the meat of this, all the meat of this. Basically, I got busted. I went to juvenile hall, got on probation. I failed probation. And then I got sent to all these programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't talk about the specific programs and the bits because I haven't written them all out to where they're funny yet. But I got sent to these wilderness programs. You get hiking around and stuff.
Yeah.
And
then
I got sent to Samoa. Western Samoa, are
fairly
appropriate faces. And I was there with people that were like, dudes like, I used to sell cocaine for the mob. One's like, dudes like, I used to shoot heroin. One's like, I shot a dude stealing a car. And one guy's like, all these things. I'm like, I smoke weed.
You're like, I just sold an eighth to my friend.
So that's kind of the bit too, is just like how it was so overboard and how ridiculous it was.
Wow.
And how I was the least popular kid in rehab because that was that guy. And So I was trying to tell a story. I was trying to tell that story. And about it's bizarre. It's weird. And not most people don't have that story to tell. And then the part that I was trying to tell at the end, which I still work in, is basically I got out. And then I had some guys that worked talking. I worked at this at Mount Bachelor in Bend, Oregon, flipping burgers. And I heard a guy tell another guy that like he just finished rehab and he was like excited. I like heard that like, oh shit, let's like talk about it. And I'm talking about how I was also in rehab. Like, you want to talk about it? And then he told me that like he hurt his foot snowboarding, and he was in physical therapy rehab.
Mm.
And then that was just a connection to the kind of joke I was trying to make out of that. Like, I was all excited to, like, connect to this person. He was in rehab for freaking injuries. And that was kind of the end of the bit. And so I was trying to do different parts of that. I thought it was a fun story. And it was just one day I was in Portland, Oregon. And I was like, I told myself if I could find somewhere tonight that'll let me tell jokes, I'm going to go to a comedy open mic.
Mm-hmm.
So I was finishing up dinner and I was looking at my phone and I just Googled comedy club open mic Portland or whatever, and like it said helium. Like, I don't even know what helium was.
God.
Like,
what's this? You went to the helium.
So I was like, what's this? And it says something like you get 3 to 5 minutes at an open mic. So I'm like, okay.
It's a long time for your first time.
So. Yeah. I went to my hotel. Don't worry, I had plenty of time. I did it. So
I
went to my hotel. I was rehearsing. I'm like, okay, I think there's I got five minutes of this story, these stories to tell. Mm. And then my wife, and I talked to my wife a little about doing
did
this.
Did she go?
No, she was at home.
Oh God.
And I was on the trip for work, and I was like, and she had always told me like, write it down. I'm like, no, I'm just thinking it through. I know I'm writing and thinking. She's like, write it down. She did theater in high school and stuff, and into college. And I'm like, nah, I don't need to do that. No, I don't, idiot. So I go. So I go there and I go and I sign up. And I've been told, and I saw on their website, like, if you write that you're new, like, there's a better chance of getting up, because apparently a lot of people want to go up there. And I thought about not doing that because it gave myself an out. But I did. I'm busy. Yeah. I'm new, whatever. So then I go. And then they said the list is out. I'm like, where's the list? I thought it would be, like, in big, bright, like, somewhere really lit up. It's never like that. It's, like, this dark corner of a bar.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at it all cool. Like,
little handwritten
that I see my name. Like, fairly towards the top. And then I see a three, and I'm like, I'm third. But then a lot of people have three. I'm like, is that? That's 3 minutes.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
And I'm like, oh, no, I have 5 minutes. I didn't. how do I do 3 minutes? Oh, no. So then I called my wife, told her what I was doing. And then I told her, I asked her which story is funnier. Like, which one's funnier, crackhead or work story? One's got to go. And work story is what I capped with. And then I started pacing down the street like a lunatic trying to rehearse and memorize
what I was
doing. I'm up throwing different lines to try to change these things up to provide context to the end story. And earlier that day, so I sell machinery. I don't know if it was on the show. I sell machinery that's used in different businesses. Breweries were one of them. And I just talked to met some distributors that day who sell our equipment with their own equipment. And I had just met them. We had emailed and talked to the phone. We met them in person that day. And we were going to go out to dinner. So I texted him like, hey, going out to dinner. How about this? Let's go to this place called Helium Comedy Club. And they're like, cool, dope, let's do it. And they show up. I'm like, all right, guys. So here's what's going to happen.
Here's what's happening.
Go get us a table.
While you're having dessert.
Get some drinks. Order food. And I'm going to see in a little bit. You're going to see me try stand up for the first time in my life.
Wow, you invited
and they're like,
friends.
Oh,
shit.
Oh, and here's what I thought. I was like, either it's going to go horrible.
Yeah.
Or it's going to go great. Or someone, no matter what, we're going to have an experience.
Oh,
and we were fucking
God.
Bonding that night.
Yeah.
And the host, Shane Brendan, he's super funny. He went up. So he's in the green room. And I go in there, say hi, introduce myself. He's like, oh, is this your first time? I'm like, oh, it's my first time ever doing comedy or trying to do this. He's like, oh, cool. Then he does his opening set, and he could have said this without me saying that, but he was like, hey, he didn't say me specifically, but he's talking about it. Hey, everyone, if it's your first time trying comedy, maybe you don't do it like a packed comedy club. All these things. I'm like, oh, he's just feeding, like, oh, this is so great.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you think you're funny around the water cooler, you're watching Netflix special, you think you're funny. Maybe try it at some bar somewhere. I'm like, oh, thank you. This is perfect. Set me up. And the next comic went up and I did my thing. I started by calling it back to that. Just like, I'm that guy he was talking about. So let's see how this goes. And then I did my set and it felt amazing. And
did it go okay?
Yeah. I mean, for my first time not writing anything down, I think it went pretty good.
Wow.
I mean, I think sometimes to your first time, you get a little more love when they know.
Because
everyone's, you're connecting more. But yeah, went pretty good. You know, got laughs, had fun, and then I sat down and just started having drinks. And then at the end of it, and I did touch on getting sent away to like a third world country. I was trying to tie that in. The last comic who ended up, his name was Adam Posse. He had just won Portland's Funniest Person or Comic. I think it's Person. Yeah. Portland's Funniest Person a few days before. I didn't know what that meant at all. And then he was talking about he's half Samoan. Then he was done. He went, when the whole show was over, he went to the bar in the back and I said hi, introduced myself. I showed him a tattoo on my leg I got from art that I brought back from Samoa and got the tattoo in America. Cool. And I said, hey, I don't know if you heard my set. He had heard some of it and he gave me some feedback. And he said, and I said, oh, so that place I'm talking about was actually Samoa. I lived there for a while. He's like, he's like, dude, I've never been there. You're more Samoan than me. Oh. And I was like, that's such a fun thing. Yeah. And then he goes,
crazy.
And then he's talking to me and the guys I was hanging out. He's like, hey guys, I'll see you in a little bit. I'm going to say hi to some people. I thought I'd never see him again. That'd be fun. He came back and he goes, hey, you guys want to go on another open mic?
Oh. Yeah.
It's like, oh shit. And then I went.
How'd it
same
go?
Night?
Yeah.
Wow.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah. It's called Lamp. It's a small bar that mic doesn't go on anymore. And there were a lot of the best comics that went up that night and other comics were there and met some awesome people. But it was just about doing it.
Yeah.
And having fun.
Yeah.
And then afterwards he invited me, like, we went to hang out at the Clinton House where like a bunch of comics live in Portland to hang out. So I got like just the craziest fun night. Cool. So I'm hanging out with all these comedians that I met all night, all the bartenders and everybody. Eventually I had to leave because I had to go do some work stuff in the morning. But I was like,
yeah,
that was incredible. And it was really cool. Fun.
What does your wife think?
She's
down?
Yeah, she, absolutely. She's supportive.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I try to limit the number of nights a week I leave. Yeah. So that was the thing is because I was already gone for work. So I can either stay in my hotel, watch Netflix or whatever, or I can like go out because I'm super extroverted and just go out and just work on telling jokes. Also, it was a little safer because once I got into some neat scenes, I had really great audiences and get to meet cool comics, then I'd come back home and not do that and just kind of work on what am I going to say next and work on writing. And my wife helped me with some of that too. She's written some of my best lines.
Is she extroverted?
She'll say she's not. No, I mean, not really.
Balance.
Yeah, yeah. She needs her time. She needs her downtime.
Decompress.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have. You go to see people to recharge.
Yeah,
and like Chris and I, stay introverts. Clear
yeah,
of people. To recharge.
I'll just keep.
I'd
going
say our podcast is the most extroverted thing we do.
For reals.
Yeah.
And so she probably balances you. Like if you're super, you said you were super extroverted.
Yeah, as much as they come. Extrovert as they come.
Are you from here?
No, I grew up in San Jose, California.
Oh, San Jose. Okay, Vallejo. I'm from Vallejo.
Right on. Yes. Well, so that's when I went to Oak Grove High School, and that's where I got kicked out. And then I got to another school for a little while, and then failed probation. Then I've never been back since I was like 16. I've been back to visit, but like my parents don't live there or anything anymore.
Yeah.
But then I ended up going to these programs. My last program I was in Bend, Oregon. And that's where I ended up meeting my wife shortly after.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
That's where we want to live. That's weird.
It's not weird to want to live there. It's fantastic.
Yeah. But I mean, it's weird that you just brought that up.
Ah, places that are close by, it's a destination.
It's a really cool spot.
It really is.
Yeah.
How'd you end up in Idaho?
So we were going to college in Ashland and just couldn't really afford to live there without in student housing. And I had a distant cousin, relative person, I guess, who like had a potential job and a house for rent here. And it didn't work out to rent from them, but we just kind of moved anyway and it was affordable and found a job.
How
and
many
just,
years ago?
Oh, geez. So we moved. So we had just gotten married, so it was early 2004.
Oh, okay. When'd you move? I've been here since 93.
I think I've been here. I think it was...
Similar time?
Yeah, it was, because I got divorced, I think, in 2006. So I had been here probably about 2 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I might have been here around the same time.
From
Vallejo.
I don't know. We were in Boise, and then we were renting, and then we were going to buy a house. You know, we couldn't afford anything in Boise, so we bought a house in Nampa.
Yeah.
And then we ended up buying a house in Redmond, Oregon.
Oh, cool. Because
that's where our parents live. It was cool when we had it. And then we I started a company. I was selling hops to breweries. Mm-hmm. I started just as a hobby thing, and it grew and just, you know, doing different brokering deals that, you know, made a full-time career out of it. Mm-hmm. For a while, and bought our house and had property and horses. My wife always grew up with horses. She grew up in Haines, Alaska.
Oh, I'm from Juneau.
Oh, no, what kidding.
The fuck? That's cool.
Yeah.
Where is Haines in relation to Juneau?
Very close to Juneau. It's is southeast.
Oh,
yeah, you
okay.
Don't find that.
Yeah. Yeah, White Fang was filmed in a made up town that called Dalton City in her town.
Oh,
her mom did housekeeping at the hotel where Ethan Hawke was.
Oh my God.
Dang.
You have to tell her hello from me.
Well, from Juneau, Alaska.
Haines was like where. So if you were in Juneau in elementary, you would go on like a ferry trip. That was like your little class thing in elementary school.
A little field trip.
We went to Haines.
On a ferry,
yeah,
damn.
Petersburg and yeah. Oh my God, that's cool.
Yeah.
Is she white or
She's white, but she's a little native too, but she's
okay, cool. Eskimo or
no. Kalapuya is what not 100% certain on some of these things, just do not great records of things.
Yeah.
Loose association.
But she like wasn't, like her parents weren't from Alaska.
Oh, okay.
They actually were from Oregon and moved to Alaska. And then we tried to open up a brewery, and then we got conned by this asshole who was actually was supposed to stand trial for wire fraud right before the pandemic.
Damn.
Not against us, just because what he did through us was quote civil. So there really wasn't anything we could do but sue, but then he just doesn't pay and like you can't do anything. But then that kind of took down our business and our home. Then we moved back. Luckily, we still own our house in Nampa, so we've been back there for a few years. Yeah, so we still have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you have seen the massive changes around here.
Oh, yeah.
Like the traffic in the last couple of years.
Oh,
yeah.
My
it's like,
God.
Holy shit.
Coming from California.
Yeah.
Well, when I first got here from California and I would go
awesome.
And I would drive, I was like, this is kind of relaxing to drive your car, you know?
Yeah.
Like, go out and there's no one's on the road.
I moved from Seattle and I was like, one time there were like cows at the Meridian exit on the freeway. And I was everybody stopped, nobody died. Now, definitely, we'd all be dead.
Fucked up now.
Yeah. It's really bad now. Damn. So, you've been here a long time.
Yeah.
Dang.
What's your best show you ever had?
You know, where?
So, you know, I'm just an open micer. I've been booked on a couple live shows.
Yeah.
I would say the best set I think I had was at the Tacoma Comedy Club at Amica about a monthish ago. That week, when Joe came that week here. Just had a lot of fun. Everything clicked. I had fun talking. So there's another comedian, Todd Royce, who you should know, who's in the Seattle area.
Oh, cool.
Super hilarious.
We should look for him while we're there.
Yeah. Hit me up when you go in there. I'll say a bunch of people.
Cool.
Okay.
And so I'm not a little gentleman. He's a little larger gentleman. Mm-hmm. We both had the exact same shirt from Walmart, but just different sizes.
Yes.
So he came up to me. He's like, dude, I didn't know it was that shirt. And then he went up a couple cents before me, so it was perfect.
Yeah.
So I still got to call back and talk about, like, no, it's not just Todd Royce. Do another set. Both got this, and we talked. So I talked about the shirt a little bit, and then I told some jokes that I've been working on, and just the whole, just doing the timing. Zoom to live is so weird because the timing is so weird. I could talk about that. You can do a whole podcast on just like
there's
several
delay, right?
Like episodes. The delay is different. So there's delay in real life where there's real energy happening in the air. Where like, oh, now it's hitting this person. It's kind of like rolling like a wave. But then on Zoom, it's like, oh, did you not laugh because my internet's fucked up?
Yeah.
Is this thing on? Or is it because there was just a delay? Because some Zooms, for some reason, I don't know what. I can go to one. I've done Zooms where I do like five or six in a night and jump between them, and the timing's different on every single one.
Yeah.
And is it because everyone's staring at their camera, but they're really just messaging each other?
Because
there's a fucking... I do a bit about a chat. There's a chat on Zoom. People can just type messages.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And I do a bit about that because I had a little heckle thing in a chat. I made a kind of a fun connection thing. Try to make that work live, but it doesn't quite yet because it doesn't relate as much. There's a lot of differences. You know, I've had people laugh. We can see them looking right at them. And then I'm like, if you laughed at that, you would probably laugh at this. Then I'm like, what's happening now? Because you're not. And that was only because... Your friend just got kicked out of Zoom because they thought they were the heckler. They weren't, but they were the only audience member. And it was just like all this horrible shit. But that, yeah, my best, I would say, that I can recall live was at, yeah, Tacoma Comedy Club about a month or so ago. Just had a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Worst.
So that would have been at a bar. I think it's in Oakland. Was it Oakland?
Oakland.
And I had so it was pre-Zoom. So I had done...
No, pre-pandemic.
Yeah, you know, 10, 20 sets or something. And I just stood up and I talked for 5 minutes or 4 or 5 minutes. I forget the set length. Stuff that I felt like I had worked on that was good. And yeah. Reaction that was funny. God. And it was silence.
Oh, God.
And it was just the worst feeling. And that's where, like, I questioned everything about my life. And so I went up, like, some more things working against me. Yeah, I didn't do a good job. I know that. But, like, you know, I went up first in this environment that I went to a mic the next. I was telling someone, and they're just weird. People's like, oh, yeah, that's just a really tough one. And I don't think they were just saying that to kiss my ass, but like there are some scenarios and settings that generally
just hard.
Takes more work. That doesn't mean that's bad, because if you get a laugh, it's worth more. It's the currency of the room is the way I think about it.
Yeah.
What's that laugh worth? You've been in some rooms where someone will laugh when you say almost anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's fun, but like, wait a second. I'm not getting better.
Yeah.
So
do you prefer those tough rooms?
I don't know. I like a balance.
It's true.
Yeah,
that's how you get better.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
But
I mean, if everyone's laughing at everything you say, that's you're not getting better.
But going to ones I like. So I really like the ones I tend to do in town are Mad Swede. Usually the downtown beer hall, Mad Swede. Usually have an attentive audience. Just
is that where I broke a glass?
That's where you broke
those tall
glass.
Skinny glasses.
Oh,
those are dangerous. There. Yeah,
she went to clap and fucking knocked her drink over.
The whole thing shattered.
I mean, she was being supportive of the comedians, but she broke her fucking beer all over the goddamn. Yes,
exactly. Sorry.
And then we all danced on it, and it was over.
I mean, those tough ones, yeah, is obviously makes you better, but it is fun to just have an attentive. If it's funny, people laugh. If it's not, they don't.
Yeah.
And then you learn. You can change.
Yeah. And engaging those things and going, okay, well, you know, what really got the stronger part of that? What really was going on? And it's weird because, like, whatever you feel right after you get off stage, I think, at least my opinion right now, is it's always not, it's generally not accurate what happened.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is fine.
You're negative?
Yeah. Or like, either way.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, it was great. Well, it's not always, it's a generalization, but like sometimes it is like, and then listening, oh, that was pretty good, I guess. And then some, but we should always be critical, though. Like, okay, where could that get better? Because that's what I want to do is just get as good as I can and by putting in as much work as I'm willing to put into it and have fun.
Goals?
That's a great question. Our word. I mean, I know what you meant.
Yeah.
So it's weird because, like, would I love to someday do this professionally? Like, if someone could guarantee me that I could support my family forever doing it? Sure. Yeah. Is that going to happen? Yeah. I'm not gonna say no, but come on. Like, I think it's fun. I think I'm decent. I think I have the potential to get as good as anybody's been.
Of course.
But
why not?
I just really enjoy having fun and doing it. As long as I'm enjoying it, I'm gonna keep doing it and see how far I can get. I would like to become at a level where when we got people coming to town that I'm for someone that gets asked, hey, are you available to do, you know, the feature for this person or whatever.
Yeah.
Do 20-minute, 30-minute set. Maybe at some point a headlining set, but probably not like a traveling headliner.
Yeah.
You know? Have you met Nate Ford?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we hang out at a bunch of the mics.
Oh,
he's
nice.
Awesome. He's fun.
Yeah. We've had him on twice on our podcast.
He's a cool dude.
We were on the We did a mic a couple weeks ago together at the Mad Swede on Saturday night. They'll do like a riff challenge type thing, and it was Christmas. So he went on about people thinking he's Santa.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And then I did a bit because I've done bits where he's gone up before me and I've said I've been Nate Ford 20 beers ago or things just tying back to him.
Yeah.
And then I did a bit just kind of tying into it. Like I was pretending to be his dad. I did a whole thing. And no, he's great. He's fun and funny.
He's a cool
guy.
And he just quit his job.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah.
I remember he's been
speaking of Nate and he.
Oh my God, tomorrow night.
What?
He's an opening for Creed.
Creed from Bratton Office. From The Office. Yeah, yeah. At the Revolution Concert House. Yeah. I was speaking to my coworker that has recently started comedy, Natasha. Do you know Natasha Bowles? I think she's a new open micer.
I don't know that last name. Does she use a different last name?
Bowles, B-O-L-E-S. I don't know if she does with comedy. I've never watched her, but she's a coworker of mine. And she said at Nate's birthday party, he almost got in a fight because of a joke he told.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we do a set on that show. And I was on Comic of the Month that night.
Oh, cool.
So hopefully we'll do next time. But it sounded like it was because so after both those shows, we converged and did the late night mic at Mad Swede. But I want to hear about maybe I have to ask what this
is. So can tell I don't know the whole story, but she said he did a joke about, like, I think handicapped people, and there were some people there that took offense to it, and some shit went down, and she said he almost got into a fight.
Nate is not the fighting type.
No, Nate's a good guy. He pushes
it a little bit.
Yeah, but he's not trying to get into a fight. Yeah. He's you got some free weed.
I would describe Nate as jolly. I like that bit.
He says that every show. He's not kidding.
Nate just wants to get high and tell some jokes.
Oh, my God. He was amazing at the Crescent. They were some fucking hecklers.
And they were just talking and being loud.
And he totally handled it. It was super cool.
Shut him down.
And we'd never seen him.
At one point, he just like locked the door on the club. He's like, I'm doing six hours tonight.
He's like, this shit's going down.
He locked the door.
It was so fucking funny.
And he's like, I'm going 6 hours tonight. Pretty much fuck all of you.
Fuck you guys.
That was awesome. He was hilarious that night. And he just... There were people fucking around and they killed it.
Being disrespectful.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. People told many people to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. We're like, yeah. So how do you handle hecklers? Or have you experienced that?
I've been fortunate. So on Zoom, they just get muted.
Yeah.
It's like the safest place to try to do comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Because like you can bomb whatever, but like, you're not feeling that soul sucking energy that's going to take you off and make you spiral out of control, potentially. That was a little far, I just said. But yeah, so I haven't had to deal with it a lot. I did a little more in Denver last week because there's some kind of rowdy bars, and I'm not my jokes aren't dirty. I'm not like, that's just not the comic I am.
Yeah.
Not to say like, it's just. I'm not usually not that people are dirty comics yell at the crowd. I'm just saying like it was kind of tough. And there were just people just being loud and drunk. And eventually I ended up just kind of calling it out to them. And I wasn't totally like super mean or anything like that. I just basically turned and was like, all right, I'm going to pay attention to these people because fuck these guys over here.
Yes. Yeah.
And then someone over here was yelling at them. So I had the audience yelling at the audience to listen because they were enjoying my comedy and they were laughing and I could see them.
Yeah.
And it was really funny. The guy's like, oh, I'm going to keep talking. Oh, no matter what I do. Like, yeah, dude, we know. We've been here all night. And I got some laughs and some fun and they kind of just shut up. I haven't had to really deal with it. I'm not really that good at confrontation in general, so it's weird.
Yeah, I think
it's because like
hard.
I'm not on stage because I'm the most confident person in the world. I am in certain ways like feel like confident, but in other ways like I'm a pretty insecure person in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
like, and I don't want to have that. Comics
are like super insecure, shy, but you're not shy if you're super extroverted.
No, that's the thing is because a lot of comics are like I'm introverted. A lot of them really are, but like I'm not. It's just. I'm just not great at confrontation, and I'm going to learn how to do that better because I want to be able to take care of that and handle that better.
It's amazing when it does happen, when the person on stage is like, boom.
And it worked.
When it works.
It was weird. I was on stage, and I did see a comic in Denver who was like the opposite. Someone wasn't even being that rude, and they were just yelling at the audience member. And to the point where it was like super awkward. Right? Why are you doing this? You're the one freaking out right now. Please. Yeah. I'm up in like three or four comics. Like, please don't kill this energy.
So you travel for work and then find the open mics.
Yeah.
By yourself. I feel like that's super gutsy.
Yeah. I mean, when you're first starting out, I think that's what you have to do.
I'm like, huh, what? Yeah,
I don't know. It seems scary. I'd never do that.
At the times when I thought maybe I could go and do comedy, and then we went to the Idaho Comedy Fest or just any show, and I see the comedian up there, and there's this whole crowd waiting
react,
and I was like, no, I can't fucking do that.
Exactly. But when it works, yeah, and you got something planned, and it works, it's so incredible.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
And so after, I mean, I guess we're still in the pandemic, whatever, but like, I'm vaccinated, we're on a different area of it now. Since May, I started doing live mics in town. I've never done live mics in Boise or anything. So it's fun to just join the community and be a part of it now. It was actually cool because I met a comedian. His name is Jeff Shaw. He's definitely worth looking up. He'd love that as the line saying, comic credit or
is he local?
Worth looking up. he travels a bunch though, and he does live shows. And I met him on Zoom through Flappers. And then after a Zoom mic, we were chatting. He said some nice things about my set, and I was like, "Hey, you should let me open before you ever come to Boise." And he's like, "Well, you got to be a." I'm like, "Okay, I didn't mean like feature. I just mean like just do a set sometime in the thing." And he's like, "All right, well, you know, guest sets like 5 to 10 minutes unpaid. You do a set and you get to do it for an audience or whatever." I'm like, "That'd be great." Then I connected him with Lounge. And then they
did a show. Okay, I think I remember seeing him. And then, so Jeff Shaw, we went and saw Chris Shaw. So Jeff Shaw, I think, it's more like Rod Stewart looking ish.
Is he?
Yeah. I forget her name, but the actress that plays the one that's like the meaner lady in Glee. Like they always say that she looks like her. I always forget her name.
I know you're talking about. Yeah. I see her face.
He jokes about that.
I've never seen the show.
I'm sure he just jokes about people talk about that. But he does clean comedy. He's got a dry bar special. Mm. He's really funny. And then he was like, "All right, well, I'm coming to town, so you're gonna do that set this one week." And I'm like, "Okay."
Wow.
And then I'm like, "I gotta go do more live sets because most everything was on Zoom for the last year."
Yeah.
And I pre-Zoom, and there were some topics he didn't want to hit on because, like, he does clean stuff. So I'm like, "All right, what kind of do?" Like, I have stuff, but that wasn't. I didn't have a lot that wasn't about getting busted selling weed, or I have some bits of my stuff into microdosing. I realized a lot of my stuff's about drugs. So then I got to do like 5 or 6-ish minutes two nights in a row. One of those nights afterwards, went to IHOP. It took me to late breakfast, and we went to comedy school for a couple hours with him.
Talking
joke structure and breaking stuff down and getting advice, stuff that you know very hard to pay for that. So that was a cool connection I made that wouldn't have happened without Zoom. And I've been on shows with real like professional comedians that would never been connected with if I wasn't doing it on Zoom.
Wow.
Yeah. Who's your biggest comedic influence?
I don't know if there's a specific person. I just really like a lot of comedians. Like Mark Norman, Tom Segura.
Yes. Do you like Bert?
Bert Kreisch is fantastic.
The whole gang.
Jesus, why am I fucking up his name? I'm just brain farting right now. Oh, jeez, you have to cut this part. I'm saying brain fart. Dude who just got out of fucking rehab and everyone was pissed off because he had a kid.
D'Elia?
No. No, they were pissed because he was dating kids.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you can leave it in. You can
be a part of it. All right.
He got out of rehab.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Brian Callen?
No. Jesus Christ. I'm such an idiot.
King and the Sting. Who got out of rehab?
Recently? I don't know.
Oh!
John Mulaney.
Yes.
You got to fucking edit some of this out.
Oh, Mulaney.
I'm such an idiot.
No, okay.
Every fucking John thing Mulaney. He's ever said has been fucking great.
Hilarious.
No throwaway lines.
Yeah.
All fantastic. All of his jokes, I think, were fantastic. I don't know why I just brain farted. Any other day of the week, I'd have been like, I would have told you right away.
Pretty much all the people we
really
like.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I like Mulaney. I like this new in town special.
Oh, did you see who's that really
Bargatze.
Clean guy?
Bargatze.
His new special.
Who's that guy?
Great.
Regan. Did you see his new special?
Oh, I did.
Brian Regan.
I saw most of it. I got into the one. I don't want to spoiler around a fucking thing, but we were talking about OCD. Was just so
and his books and shit.
He's describing all the things.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we like all the same stuff. Really. Lovely. I listen to Two Bears, One Cave every week. Yeah. Yeah. What do you feel about Bill Burr?
Am I supposed to feel something?
Well, I just wonder.
I think he's really funny.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. Really
like yeah, because I think a while ago, Chris struggled with him because he was so angry. And I'm like, I'm listening to him, dude. But yeah. I feel like he's working on it. He says, I'm working on it. You know
like,
what I mean?
I like him now more than I ever did before. I thought he was just like yelling and,
no, I think he's
you
really,
know, and super anti-woman. And yeah, so, and now friend.
Yeah.
You know, really, I actually like his comedy a lot more now.
Yeah.
You know, kind of.
Yeah, I think it's really funny.
It's fun how you can follow people.
And then some
now.
Specials too, like you like more some specials more than others, yeah, and true. That's okay. It's like I'm not saying you should give slack to anybody if they change, they don't like your thing, but like people develop and they change.
Yeah.
Bands, music changes, yeah, and you always sure. get mad because yeah. they changed.
You want the old stuff.
Metallica.
Yeah. And sometimes it can be totally valid. It's just things change and people change.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. You have any more questions?
I don't. Do you have anything you want to...
Tell us how we can find you on social media. Do you have YouTube, anything like that?
Yeah, just on Instagram, just at LaughYourLukeOff.
Do you tape your sets?
I do, and I post some sometimes on YouTube, some clips.
Okay, what's your YouTube page?
Just click the thing I just said. And LaughYourLukeOff.com. I try to keep updated with shows I'm doing. And then there's a link there for my YouTube stuff.
Oh, nice.
LaughYourLukeOff.com. Okay.
LaughYourLukeOff.
Because I know when I got the email from you, it was at Nuco Brew, and I looked that up, and there was
nothing
there.
That was my hops company, and I keep my email address because it's just I keep going. Gotcha. But yeah, LaughYourLukeOff on Instagram, LaughYourLukeOff.com. If you're a comedian or someone who's thinking about working on comedy, want to do it in the easiest possible way currently, and fun and connect with a lot of people and work on writing and stuff, just join Displaced Comedians on Facebook. Mm-hmm. If I don't accept your thing right away because it asks you a few questions, I got to click some stuff, then message me. I do keep an eye on messages. Messages me, Nico Lukeoff, and just be like, hey, asshole, I'm trying to join your fucking group.
Yeah.
And then I'll look at it and I'll either hit yes or no. So that's how that works.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being here tonight and in the
you.
Studio. It's been a while, so thanks for coming over. And Nico Lukeoff, comedian, check him out.
We're going to have to check you out.
Woo.
Yeah, we're going to take a look. All right, so I'm signing out.
I'm signing off.
I'm Chris Adams.
I'm Wendy Mosier.
I'm Chris Adams.
Hashtag get toasted.
Stay toasted. And thank you for being here, Nico, tonight.
Thank you. So